A couple hundred years ago, the only thing you had to worry about was a hangover.
You're telling me you're an investigator?
More or less.
Today, because of your curse thingy, you can't sleep with anyone.
I'm not a taint. I'm your boss.
Or else you might feel a moment of true happiness.
You got a real addiction to the brooding part of life.
Lose your soul.
Except for the bulk of it, where I was nearly tortured to death.
Become evil again.
You're a demon hunter.
Rude demon hunter.
And kill everyone.
It's fucking fantastic.
I love that sound.
Thanks, Cornelia. I always appreciate your perspective.
You're open.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Beer with Buffy, everyone. I'm Josh.
It's not Beer with Buffy.
Welcome to Ale with Angel, everyone. I'm Josh.
I'm Rex.
And apparently we're being pedantic today on Ale with Angel and or slash Beer with Buffy. And also I was very rudely informed that Rex's new roommate has never had Reed's ginger beer before. Just while we were trying to do some room silence, the worst possible time to tell me. I'm giving you so much shit for absolutely nothing right now. But that is important information to have.
To be fair, I didn't know you were about to call room silence. So.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
Is it really a mistake after the fact?
Yeah. If it makes you feel bad, Rex, then I am here for it.
It doesn't make me feel
Welcome
bad.
Welcome to Ale with Angel, everyone. I'm Josh.
I'm Rex.
And today on Ale with Angel, we're going to be reviewing Season 3, Episode 7, Offspring.
Now I know you're probably expecting this to be Beer with Buffy, but reasons.
Yeah.
Get over it.
You heard the man.
Moving on.
Uh-huh. I don't want to talk about it. You might want to talk about it.
Actually, you know, if you wanted to know a bit more about what was going on.
You know how you could know.
You could know by joining our executive doodle doos over on Patreon, because they have the scoop.
They do, in fact. And I just want to say it's going to be okay. It's going to be better, in fact.
Yeah.
You're going to thank us when you're older.
Yes.
Now go clean your room. Go ask your mom.
If you want to hound any of our current executive doodle-doos to find out what the skinny on why we're not doing Beer with Buffy today is, you can go ask them.
Don't give them that option.
I'm not like I'm giving them an opportunity to be able to ask them.
They're going to figure it out anyway. But
yeah, maybe.
Whatever.
Anyway, our executive doodle-doos who know what's going on are Liam Neville, Monica Fonseca-Taez, Tisubba Spike, Audrey Two French Last Names, Bridgen McCloy, Dead Serious, Allie B, Nathan Lancey, Dulcinea, Rachel Gregory, Rachel Doodledoo, DTS, Cubby the Seal, Mr. Tabalicious, Sondra Craig, Jay Sommer, Catherine Parkinson, Karen Moon, Chris V-Man, Pat Like Turtles, Bad at Changing Their Name Heaps, Two-Tone Don't Fucking Call Bradley Cooper a Gnome, Father Defenestrato, Methuen... God damn it. Everyone keeps changing shit up on me. Methuen da doodle doo.
That's the bit, though, man.
Kelly MC, Jesse Rain, Alex from the Heart, and Carrie Phillips. Thank you so much. Without you, this show literally is not possible.
Woo! Giving that man a run for his money.
Oh, man.
That's my favorite.
I already struggle with saying words. This is hard.
Well, thank you for that list of doodle doos, Rex.
Yes.
Don't forget to fuck them. Everybody at home, I hope you have a doodle doo to fuck. I know it'll make you as happy as it does me thinking about it.
Anyway, on from that awkwardness.
Looking in the mirror at night going, "Pacock!"
I have good news for you, Josh.
Yeah,
we have new reviews.
Fuck you. That's my news for you. You didn't know.
I'm playing a bit.
Gaslit Nation
bit.
Over here, man.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give...
Taking credit for me is the bit.
It's just a segue.
Well, you know what? The credit actually goes to Rex because I think we effectively guilted a bunch of people
apparently
into reviewing us because we got 4 fucking ass reviews over just the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So way to pick up the slack, guys.
Yeah, we're up to 69 ratings.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, that is not 69 reviews. Because we do have a couple of ratings that apparently are not actual reviews.
Well, we're not going to be that pedantic. We're just waiting for the number to get to 75.
Yeah. Which, hey, we're 6 more away.
But then only people who've written one will be eligible.
Now, remember, if you have written a review, you can email us with a screenshot of your review, and we will send you a free sticker.
But you have to ask for the free sticker.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to be like, wow, that was really nice.
Yeah. Well, and we have no way of knowing who the fuck you are unless you give us an email. So if you want a free sticker for your review, take a screenshot and email beerwithpuffy@gmail.com and let us know. Give us the information. We will send you a free sticker.
Yeah, absolutely.
So our first review, reviewed on February 19th of this year, 2024, titled Hilarious Buffy Podcast by Tracy Kidd. Tracy Kidd says, I just found your podcast and I love it with 3 exclamation points.
3 exclamation points.
I laughed so hard listening to Cat in the title. I started snort laughing. 2 exclamation points.
2 exclamation points.
I can't wait to hear what you guys think of future characters and big bads.
Well, I can't wait to tell you what I think of future characters and big bads.
Yeah, if you're
thank you so
if
much,
you're a
Tracy
cat in
Kidd.
The title, you got a whole world ahead of you.
Yeah, that was a fun trip back in time for me. I went back and listened to Cat in the Title because of this review, and it was pretty funny. I was in one of my just fuck with Rex mode days. I apparently just didn't write any notes for that episode. And I remember going through that phase where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to respond to Rex while he reviews the episode. And
you know, sometimes that works. I do it from time to time.
I decided to just be a Republican and obstruct the entire flow of the podcast. Just for shits and giggles. Just to watch the world burn.
Our second review, this one came in February 24th, 2024 by Devilish Thang 67, titled Love These Guys. I downloaded the Apple Podcast app and Googled how to leave a written review and then did it. That's how much I enjoy this Buffy pod.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's like 3 separate tasks.
Also, iTunes is not user-friendly, if you ask me.
No, it's terrible. It's fucking
awful. I
don't
find it user-friendly.
Just like iPhones.
That's why we give you a free sticker for doing a review, because we know it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We hate iTunes, but it's such a standard and a staple in the world that we have to use it. Like Amazon, if you want to be an online seller.
So much so, by the way, some news is iTunes changed how they do ad revenue through their podcasts and how it's counted. And so that's going to have a ripple effect with all podcasts that have ads, which is not us.
Right.
Because fuck that.
Yeah.
And just to give you an idea of how much fucking power iTunes has over all the podcasts.
It's too much. And I'm sure whatever they did, podcasters are going to make less money now.
No, actually, they'll probably make more money.
Oh, well, okay. There's that at least. Anyway, I'm going to pick it up from here. We got 2 more reviews to read. Whew, we're going to get there, guys. It's going to be okay. The next one is by Monica Weird Closed Eye Emoji on 2/29/24. For all you Euros listening, that's the day and then... No, that's the month and then the day, which is kind of ass backwards when you think about it. Shouldn't it be the day first and then the month? Which, you know, how they do it everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, a roller coaster of chaos and comedy. Jeez, it's crust. It's so terrible, .. that I've binged every single episode and now find myself desperately waiting for more. If there was ever a podcast that needed a parental advisory logo, this would be it. It's highly inappropriate and I can't get enough. Well, okay, also because of mom trademark symbol. Nice. Love it.
Yeah.
Next paragraph. The host's chemistry is undeniable, and their ability to switch from witty quips to insightful reflections adds an extra layer of charm that leaves you thirsting for more. It's a delightful journey if you're willing to take it. In true Beer with Buffy fashion, I'll be cracking open a cold one while eagerly awaiting the next episode. Cheers, y'all. Whee! Thanks for that, Monica. Good review. Next.
You know, if someone had ever told me that we would be doing a podcast and people would be applauding our insightful analytical abilities, uh-huh. I would not have believed them.
Right? It's so nice to be hearing this shit. It's so rewarding. I'm like, you know, this seemed like a silly idea at first.
It really did.
But I'm still liking it 6 years in.
Yeah.
It's a good time. All right, this one is from somebody in Switzerland, I want to say.
Yeah, this one we actually didn't find out about till someone emailed us.
It's one of our Patreons, Tsuba Spike, however the hell you pronounce that. And yeah, as we learned earlier, we can't see non-American iTunes reviews, which is dumb.
Yeah, very much so. And on that note, if you are in another country and can check iTunes to see if there are reviews there that you don't think we've read online, feel free, please, to email us, because that is super helpful.
It is, in fact, and we would love to know about those, especially if you wrote it. We'd love to hear from you, but we'll take it if you just want to tell us about other people's reviews. But we will shamelessly ask you also to review us if you do that.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're logging into iTunes to check, might as well write a review.
Get yourself a free sticker.
Yeah.
If we can sneak it over enemy lines.
Yes.
Or, you know, just through customs.
Right.
Which we literally could not get a t-shirt through customs one time.
Yes, but our current merch company does have European distribution.
Correct. So it shouldn't be too big of an issue. Anyway, Tsuba Spike says, and highly recommended podcast, 5 stars. Like probably most people who ended up listening to this podcast, I am an old-time fan of everything Buffy. Having recently become a dad and suddenly facing many dark nights where a rewatch of the whole series was not going to be compatible with desperately trying to deal with a baby otherwise adamant that nighttime is not for sleeping, I decided to finally cross the Rubicon and try a podcast. Well, little did I know that this was going to be an highly well-guided decision. I got hooked on the first episode, and boy, all of this despite the fact that they get considerably better in later seasons, thank you for noticing.
Yes.
And been diligently listening to pretty much every night for the past 3 months, Josh and Rex are the perfect duo for this. Compliment each other admirably, and your jaw may end up hurting midway through the episode. And this is not just the jokes. Their analysis are often on spot, and even when I don't necessarily agree with them, it's always great food for thought. In a nutshell, I cannot but recommend this podcast to any Buffy enthusiast, or anyone who wants a fun and relaxed introduction to the Buffyverse, for that matter. I waited to be fully caught up to write this review, and I have now to stop caring for my child in between episode releases. I blame you guys. P.S. Please go along with your plan of reviewing the comics, and at least ones which are canon. Buffy seasons 8 through 12 and Angel After the Fall, plus the whole Angel and Faith seasons, are really great material. Okie dokie. Yeah, I mean, we might do that after we're done with Buffy, because we don't want to do that out of order.
Well, also, we have a couple of seasons of Angel that will continue after Buffy's finished. And honestly, breaking that up with doing the comics sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah, that's a lot of Angel.
That is a lot of Angel.
Yeah. we need chasers for Angel. It's fun. It gets you drunk, but it tastes like shit.
It's tequila?
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate tequila.
Angel is the tequila.
No, no shame to anyone who likes tequila. I just loathe it.
Angel's the tequila to Buffy's whiskey.
Yeah.
Or scotch. Mm. Expensive scotch.
Irish whiskey is my choice.
I'm aware.
Anyway, now that that's all out of the way, hey, it's time for a mom synopsis.
Joshua! What are you doing, Joshua? I'm sleeping. Just 5 more minutes, Mom. 5 more minutes? But you've been asleep for over 100 years, Joshua. Don't you want to exact revenge on your ancient enemies? I said 5 more minutes. All right, honey, 5 more minutes. I'll go get you some pig's blood and a small blonde boy from the arcade, just the way you like it. Fuck. Okay, now I'm just up. Thanks for ruining it. I was having the best dream, Mom. Oh, tell me what it was all about, Joshua. Well, I was not living with you, and I had a full-time job where I made enough money to survive, and housing was a human right, not a commodity, and I was pregnant with a child with a soul. Wait, no, that can't be right. Oh, that wasn't a dream, Joshua. You dirty slut. Fuck me, what? That's what she said, Joshua. This makes no sense. And it's all over the place. Sound familiar, Joshua? Ha, yeah, because on today's episode of Angel, everyone's getting along fine, but they're researching a prophecy about something that's supposed to arise or be born, but Wesley is having a translation problem again. Meanwhile, Darla's back in town. She's super pregos and hungry as a hippo. And she's back to make Angel feel bad about it and do all the legwork for her. And Cordelia is super down for that too. So they go to Lorne to see what he can figure out, which is absolutely fucking nothing. Darla bites an overly compassionate Cordelia, who forgot what normal vampires do. Angel goes hunting for Darla because she runs off again and nearly stakes her to death, but realizes the child must have a soul, and that's why she's going crazy and having insatiable cravings for purer blood. Fred's calculations predict that the prophecy is about to happen right now-ish, and uh-oh, it's Angel and Darla's old nemesis, Holtz. Enjoy your cliffhanger, everyone. The end.
Ladies, gentlemen, spiny-headed little creatures.
As soon as the sun goes down, vampire. As soon as the sun goes down, vampire.
Competition is a beautiful thing.
Ooh, dear.
Boy, welcome to Ale with Angel. We got a doozy of an episode for you today. So yeah, cold open. Welcome to old timey time. A diddly diddly do, Rex.
Diddly diddly do?
A diddly diddly do.
Oh.
You fucking okay. Heard me. Anyway, all right, everybody. I'm going to be on a watch list now because we just paused so that Rex could make me look up how much blood is in the average human adult's body.
There's good reasons for needing this information.
Okay.
I promise.
Is that later?
Yes, I will bring it up later.
So we're not doing that right now.
I was going to look it up before we started recording, but I completely forgot because I haven't been on my drugs in a month.
Right. Yeah.
Adderall meds shortage is fucking kicking my ass.
Not nearly drugged up enough.
I'm not.
I agree. 100%. So anyway, yeah, old-timey time. Angel's running around through some old-timey sewers, wearing old-timey clothes, being chased by old-timey monk-looking fuckers.
Specifically Rome, 1771.
Yeah. And he ducks through a grate, and he falls through some kind of chute. Yep. And falls right out into the torture room. Oopsie!
They hide those torture rooms all over Rome, I'm sure.
I know.
They're Catholic.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way. Ask me how.
I don't know if I'm comfortable asking you that one.
We don't have time, Rex.
Oh, okay.
It was 1972. I was a woman then.
You're the same age as me. We weren't born yet.
That's... There are things you don't know about me, okay, Rex? You never really know a man.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so what's his fuck? His name's Holtz. We've met him before, I think.
Yeah.
He exchanges some cooking tips with this Italian guy. I think it's the Pope, but he's wearing his red robes. That's how you know shit's about to get real.
Yes.
When the Pope is like, I'm going to put on my red shirt.
He's a cardinal, by the way.
Oh,
that's what that outfit
well, la-di-da, Rex. Sounds like you've been studying your Catholicism.
Not really. That seems pretty basic knowledge, I think.
Oh, you're so much smarter than me. I see how it is. You know what colors are.
I wouldn't.
You're colorblind, damn it.
Excuse me, I am not colorblind. Yeah. I lack depth perception of color tones. Thank you.
You're telling me that robe didn't look brown to you?
No, it was red.
Don't mind us. We're just hearing some clanging noises off in the background. I'm going to pause. So don't mind us. This might be a weird cut. We're just dealing with a ghost in the auditorium. You may be able to hear him or her or them in the background throughout for a little while. There's a lot of phantom clanking going on. It's not terrifying at all. So anyway, we were just arguing sarcastically about popes versus cardinals.
Yes.
And being colorblind. Obviously, I'm not stupid. Well, excuse me, princess. So, whatever. He's a cardinal. His name is Monsignor or something. Holtz drones on a moment. Something about this guy being excommunicated for founding the Order of the Inquisitor, whatever the fuck that means. Holtz start to torture Angel with a large hook. Fade to a bit later where Holtz monologues a bit more, wondering why Angel came to Rome of all places, claiming that he doesn't want anything from Angel now that his family is dead, but he clearly wants to make Angel suffer.
Yeah.
So,
I know it might be a little bit pedantic, but that's wanting something.
I was literally just going to say, I will forgive his pedantics because his family's dead.
Yeah.
And it's Angel's fault. Well, Angelus's fault. So
I'm really curious what they're going to do with this, with him being a bad guy. Is like, but he's not.
Yeah. Like, that's a fun. I'm interested. I assumed that this was going to be the part where they give Angel his soul back, but that's already happened.
Right.
In a different episode, in a completely different place.
And that
place.
Was with gypsies.
Yeah. I wonder if Holtz even knows. I doubt that he does.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be a plot point.
Anyway, we'll get there. Suffice to say that in this opening scene of the past, Angel Angelus does not have his soul back yet, and it is not Holtz that gives it to him. Certainly not here, not right. Ever. So anyway, Darla barges in and saves his ass, Angel's ass, with a yes. Team of random vampires. They jump onto a horse-drawn wagon, and they make out over the idea of leaving Holtz alive just to watch him suffer. And after all, they killed his family. So yeah. It's like their family now.
Right.
I love
that. It's just more amusing for him to be alive and suffering.
It is. And you know, that's exactly the kind of shenanigans I would expect out of these two.
Yeah, I mean, they're evil after all.
Absolutely. Evil gonna evil.
Yes.
So some rando vamp throws a blanket over them and they fuck off into the daylight. The end.
Well, no. The episode still has to continue.
The beginning.
Yes, the beginning.
The beginning.
We jump to modern L.A. where Darla is getting off a city bus where she killed three passengers.
And she's super pregos.
Yeah.
I mean, but we knew that.
And honestly, that's just the norm for public transit.
The bus driver looks terrified. That's par for the course.
Yeah.
Really, being a bus driver.
Yeah, that's working in public transit.
Yeah, if you're not terrified at least once a day, you're doing it wrong. You're just a crazy person, and you belong there.
Yes. Sure.
Or not. I wouldn't wish it on my worst. Actually, no, driving a bus, I would wish that on my worst enemy. I'm like, you poor fuck. Go drive a bus for the rest of eternity.
That falls into the category of, like, cursing people with, like, kind of mundane things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, may you always have a paper cut.
And by the way, I was a bus driver for 3 years, so I am allowed to say that.
Right.
I am not ignorantly saying that to be shitty to bus drivers. I know the pain.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to say otherwise can get fucked themselves. So I've never been the same since. I am still broken emotionally and physically from just 3 years.
It's like going to war.
Just 3 years of doing that job. It is like going to war.
Yeah.
PTSD
is PTSD.
It is
PTSD.
A horse shit job, man, being a city bus driver. Anyway, so he grabs his radio. His hands are shaking, and he's like, code red or some shit. I don't know. And Darla saunters off, and she makes some sort of bullshit quip about L.A. having great public transportation. Who cares? Opening sequence. Meow, 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 meow. We cut to Angel's dungeon of various likely uses.
Various likely uses.
In this particular case.
In this particular case, it's a training room.
Yeah.
It's a training room that Cordy is choosing to liven up with fake flowers.
Aw.
They're fake, like fake doors.
Fake doors. Fake flowers. Cordy's trying to decorate Angel's lair with fake flowers and cuts him off with a joke about his birthday candles. What was it, 255 now? Yeah. Something about a fire hazard, I don't know. As he's trying to say he's never known anyone like her before. And then she makes it clear that she's really there because she's excited about training. So they start to train. Yeats. She punches him in the face and he pretends it doesn't hurt. It's a fun bit.
He's like, I'm a vampire. You can't hurt me. And then he turns away and he's like, oh.
Yeah. Even though she would very obviously be able to see him do that. But it's an aside.
And like, she's worried that he's off his game because he's worried about the prophecy.
Hmm.
But he's trying to claim that he's not worried about the prophecy.
This is the first we're hearing anything about a prophecy. But it's very important throughout this episode. So this is where they're using this bit to expositiate that there's some kind of end of the world prophecy that Wesley and Gunn are trying to get a hold of.
It was mentioned in the first or second episode of the season. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was briefly mentioned before, but
I'll be damned if I can remember that.
No, I can't remember when. But yeah, it was briefly mentioned before, but
okay.
nothing real specific that I could recall.
I mean, I remember the other prophecy that they also talk about later this episode with the Shansha thing,
which was season one, season finale.
Oh, that's been a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't bother to look up when that was. It was just like, you know, I'm just going to settle for remembering that I remember it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Angel.
Honestly, with this show, that's impressive in and of itself.
I know, right? So Angel downplays being worried about the world possibly ending. Cordelia is just trying to be realistic. Angel asks if his face is swelling.
Yeah, and that brings up all sorts of questions. Again, always, because, like, don't you have to have a blood flow to swell?
Blood flow, yeah. You're not human anymore, but whatever. So, cut to a big house somewhere.
I thought it was a museum at first, but it's a private collection.
Close enough.
And this is a trope joke that I just fucking love.
Yeah.
I love this joke.
This is a fun bit.
They come up to the window and Wesley's all like hardcore, we're going to break into this place, and he's going through this elaborate plan of how to disable the alarms and cut a hole in the window and everything, and then Gunn, while he's going over this plan, just walks over to the door and opens it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Wesley just looks sad that he doesn't get to go all spy shit on this.
I wanted to cut a hole in the window.
I wanted to be a cat burglar.
You are Wesley, who's a good little cat burglar.
Remember, they're not breaking and entering. That's such a negative term.
Sorry. I'll try to be a little more toxically positive.
And then they head on into the collection, which is pretty extensive, honestly.
Yeah, they open the door. They step inside.
Yes.
And then they close the door behind them.
Oh, yes, they do.
That's what they did. Literally, there's nobody's ass to kick yet.
No.
So
no Snickers wrappers.
I'm hoping they've both got a Snickers handy.
Hopefully.
Because it might come up.
They make a joke about this head, this stuffed head, like its eyes following you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wesley does something that is profoundly stupid, if you ask me. He walks up to this unlabeled
decanter
that is on a fucking podium and opens it and takes a nice big whiff of it. You don't know what's in that fucking jar.
I thought the same thing.
They could have made a whole episode about the repercussions of him doing that.
They could have. And I thought the same thing. I am just going to be pedantic for just a moment here. It's not a podium. A podium is something you stand on or talk at. I mean, a lectern technically is something you talk at, but it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So this would just be a pillar.
The moment I said podium, I'm like, damn it, that's the wrong term. I'm so angry at myself for using the wrong term.
Arg.
But I didn't want to ruin the flow of my speech.
That's all right. We all knew what you meant, kind of.
To make you feel better, Josh, I feel ashamed of my word usage.
I'm ashamed of your word usage. Bonding. This is great.
Fuck
so.
You.
There's nothing so lovely as dreams. Everything's in them. Everything hidden. Open those chambers and you can truly understand someone.
I really wanted the demon head. I wanted that to be the story.
I think it would have been great if Wesley opened the bottle and like something fucking came out.
Right?
Like a genie in a bottle or something.
It just, you hear a little squeaky laugh and we just never come back to it.
Like, you don't know what is in that. You don't know what that fucking thing is. Why are you opening it?
I was fully expecting the eyeball of the demon to start actually moving.
Yes.
So many bits that they missed.
There's a lot of potential here. And like,
I think they were just too low budget.
Yeah.
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 Oh, well. And also, you know, they had lots of other shitty writing to get to this episode. So, you know, we should probably move on like they did.
Yes, 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 yes.
As they try to spot the Niasian scroll, they decide it's probably in the vault.
Yes.
And Wesley is rather put out by this fact, as it turns out their snitch didn't say anything about a vault.
I mean, I think it's on Wesley for not coming prepared. He was prepared for being a badass cat burglar.
For literally everything else.
Yeah.
But he didn't think about the eventuality of a vault. Gunn makes a very obvious eye contact with something over Wesley's shoulder, and they play the bit where Wesley doesn't get what he's talking about right away.
Yeah.
And Gunn's like, I got a bad feeling about this. And Wes is like, oh, we'll figure something out. It's just a vault. Actually, my bad feeling is more about the man standing behind you with a large revolver.
Yes, it's not the force. It's the gun.
Yeah.
Gun sense is a gun. Get it? Because it's his name.
I don't get it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's all right. If anybody does get it, if you could write in or give us a call at 269-743-0783. I would like to hear your theories. On yes. What the fuck is going on right now? I think I left the oven on. So, some old white dude with a revolver threatens to call the cops on them, and he picks up the nerdiest old timey phone.
Yeah, Wesley.
Like, dude, it's like 2003.
Yeah. Right.
Get a...
And you're rich. He has a cell phone.
Yeah, come exactly.
On. Wesley scares him off from calling the police because the Moolock trancing amalgam, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
The Moolock trancing amalgam that was in the decanter apparently is chemically identical to the date rape drug.
GHB.
Fun.
Yeah. You know, at least they used the thing that he sniffed as some kind of point moving forward.
And, you know, kudos to Wesley for being able to know what it is by smell.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so maybe that jar was like, that's the decanter that this trancing liquid stuff always comes in, like a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe that's how he knew what it was. Because it always comes in that kind of decanter. You can't get it in any other kind.
Then why has he got it on a pillar in a showroom?
You know, rich white people are weird.
Yeah, and probably rapists. So
yeah.
At least Wesley brought his D20 and then rolled a 20 in, yeah. On his science check.
Yes.
He handled that situation real nice-like. And then Gunn picks up some orbs that are extremely conveniently sized for juggling.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, are these valuable? Oops. And drops
Cyopian
one.
Cyopian conjuring orbs and are valuable.
The guy looks mortified when Gunn breaks one, and then he starts juggling the other three.
Another thing that could lead to a whole episode plot.
Absolutely, it could. And he's like, by the way, we're not thieves, we're investigators, and we just need to see your Niasian scroll. Oops. Drops one on purpose. And then fucking hacky sacks it back up.
Dude.
Huh.
I figured it out.
Whoa.
This is the plot hole emporium right here.
Dude.
This room.
We found it.
We found it.
How dare you for telling me that during the episode.
I'm sorry.
Now that I don't have one prepared.
It didn't come to me till this moment.
But welcome to the plot hole emporium. Here, try this Niasian scroll. It's what you need. We didn't write very much, but we thought you might like to try it. How about... What are you doing today, Brian?
Narf! You know, it's almost funnier when I can catch you off guard like that.
Son of a bitch. So anyway... So after he gives this guy half a stroke, You know, I don't understand why they didn't just knock on the door and strong arm him into giving him the Nyasian scroll. I guess they just didn't expect it to just be some rich white dude.
Right.
They probably thought it was going to be, you know, somebody that mattered.
Yeah.
Or somebody that was, you know, in any way a threat to them.
Apparently, by the way, in the behind the scenes, the actor who plays Gunn, I forget his name.
Me too.
But he...
To be fair, I also forget Wesley's name.
And apparently, Fred. When they set up this scene, it was his idea to juggle. Like, those were the props were there.
Oh, you know, I thought about that. And I was like, man, they can't just write that in without already knowing that he can juggle.
Right.
And you can't just suddenly learn to juggle. That is not how that works.
No.
Maybe you can juggle some scarves in a day.
Right.
Or a week, but not balls. Like, he's done that before.
Yeah.
Because I can juggle. Only three balls. I can't do anything more than that, giggity. but it took me a whole ass summer to get anywhere near that skill level.
Right.
And I was in middle school. I had, you know, children blood.
Yes.
In me.
Children.
That's how that works.
That's what Darla wants, too. She wants children blood in her.
Sorry, I'm chewing on pistachios. That was a bad idea. I really shouldn't eat while I'm recording.
I was going to say something.
Yeah. Well, fuck you. You can't
you
tell me
hungry.
What to do.
You looked hungry.
Do I look famished, Rex?
Yes, you look famished.
Yeah, do I look...
But also, you do the editing, so it was like, I think it's a bad idea for him to be eating pistachios, but it's really kind of his problem.
No, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. No, it's the listener's problem, really.
Yeah, kind of.
Anyway,
depends on how much you edit around it.
What were we talking about? We're almost 40.
Juggling. So, juggling.
That's right. Do it. It takes a long time to learn how. Cut to the lair of many uses.
The lair of many uses.
Where Fred sneaks down the stairs and watches as Angel, I almost said angle, Angel trains Cordelia to do a backward roundhouse kick, and they both mutually decide that training time is over now.
Okay. I have a very important question. Is there a word for this scenario where you have two people talking about something that's innocuous, but because it's out of context, because they're off screen, it sounds dirty?
You know, I wondered if that was what they were going for, but if that was what they were going for, they would have played more off of Fred's face, and she would have been like, oh my.
Maybe, but like...
But they didn't do that.
Is there
she
a
came
term
in
for that?
Innuendo.
But like, isn't innuendo when you are saying things that are supposed to be, like you're saying innocuous things, but you specifically mean sexual?
Okay, reverse innuendo.
I guess. I tried finding it.
Yeah, I can't
I
think of anything.
Figure out, like,
I can't think of anything other than
it
innuendo.
It feels like there should be a term for that.
Yeah.
It really does.
Hmm.
But I couldn't find anything. And it disappoints me that I couldn't find anything. Because it's a regular thing they do in this show and in Buffy.
I couldn't find anything in your endo, and I looked. Hell!
I sure hope you didn't.
I did find poop. But that doesn't really count.
I'm sorry, I can't do that joke.
Okay, I didn't find poop.
Toilet humor is a bit too far for me.
I did find a colon.
Anyway.
It's basically just a period and a comma connected to each other.
Anyway, Fred comes, eavesdrops a little bit, watches them train a little bit. Cordy's in pain because obviously training nice and hard.
Giggity.
Fred,
that's the word you're looking for. Giggity.
Yeah, giggity.
Giggity.
Cordy decides to go relax and try and, you know, not hurt like I do every day now that I'm nearly 40. Fred starts talking to Angel and talking about how she views Cordy as a courageous hero and Angel as a courageous hero. And what's the term she uses? I didn't write it down.
Corruption. She says it just completely out of nowhere as Cordelia is walking upstairs. And I really, there's so many bits that they missed here that I was expecting.
Yeah.
I expected Cordelia to go, God bless you.
That would have been good.
That honestly would have been better, even though it's so stupid and overdone.
Yeah. But sometimes those cliche jokes are entertaining.
Right.
But it's especially when you expect it and then it doesn't happen. You're like, man, you dropped the ball on that.
Or Gesundheit type, but that literally just means God bless you in, what, German?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Fred explains, you already said, it's a Pylian word that refers to two equally great heroes meeting on the battlefield, recognizing each other's mutual fates. And that's what she's reminded of when she sees Angel and Cordelia together and thinks that it's only natural that they'd be drawn to one another. And she's just trying to imply, in my opinion, she's just trying to imply how highly she thinks of both of them. But of course, Angel takes it to the sexy place. And he's like, oh, no, we're not together or anything. It's not like that. And Fred's over here squeeing over the plastic flowers.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite.
They never go bad. And she just keeps saying corruption until it's like Humperdinck, corruption.
Humperdinck.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. And Angel finally is like, stop saying that. And Wesley sticks his dick in the local opinion pudding, purporting that Fred's been through enough and doesn't need to be shouted at. And they're both like, wow, get the stick out of your ass, Wesley. Projecting much?
Well, there's a little bit of like, why? You're kind of scolding Angel out of the fucking blue here.
Like, you're the one that tried to murder her last episode.
Yeah,
Wes.
Like, if anyone should not be yelling at Fred, it's definitely Wesley.
Yeah. Okay. Angel, he's still got some free yelling at Fred cards left. You used up the whole deck last episode, though.
It's fine. It's empty.
Cool. Rex is trying to murder the podcast.
I am not trying to murder the podcast.
He's opening a new bottle to knock over that will be 100% full. Anyway.
Saved it. I saved the podcast.
Good job. Do you need some napkins?
There's only a little bit on the floor.
All right.
But probably.
I was hoping for some demon fighting tonight, but I wound up with a delivery job instead.
If I come back here on the end of a spatula, I'm expecting some serious workman's comp.
I'm just messing with y'all.
So Wesley asks Fred to come help them with the Niasian scroll because they need someone who can do the math. Wesley asks Angel, who gave you all the flowers? It changes his tone real quick once Fred goes upstairs. And Angel's like, no one! We're not having sex yet or ever. God, you're not my real dad. But if you want to be, that can be arranged, Daddy. No?
I don't think so, Josh.
I think so.
That much is apparent.
It'll be okay. You'll make it okay once you kiss it, Daddy. Oh. I love making this man uncomfortable. It's my favorite hobby. All right.
The sole reason this podcast has lasted.
I know, right? Oh, fuck. So we're upstairs now in the main office / lobby. Fred has a hell of a time crunching some numbers for something about the arrival of something that may or may not already be here in L.A., Wesley has a hell of a time translating some words, something about a troclon that may either mean ruination or purification. Either way, it's not necessarily a good thing. Cordelia tells Wesley to not make the same mistake twice, and now he has to explain to Fred something that happened a while back when he mistranslated Shanshu to mean death, but it turns out it also meant to live. And in Angel's case, it might mean that he could become a real boy someday, in which case Cordelia would buy him plaid shirts and take him to the beach. Good plan.
Because the boy needs color.
He does, in fact.
He does.
I might just do that anyway.
I'm legitimately curious how in the fuck any long-term vampire character on this or Buffy keeps the complexion they have when they live in California.
Right.
Like,
oh, I've heard James Marsters talk about that before, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was not happy that he couldn't really go to the beach because he had to stay pasty.
Yeah.
But I imagine they all have a big old fucking jar of vitamin D they take every day.
And they can also add some makeup to make them more pasty too, I'm sure. But like, I could not imagine, like, oh, you live in the place where everyone goes to the fucking beach.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't get to. That sounds like hell.
Yeah, that sucks. But hey, that's showbiz, baby.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's them's the breaks. Those are the sacrifices you got to make if you want to be a working actor.
Also, you got to know that, like, because they're doing a regular show, they can't, like, keep night hours only, you know? Like, they probably work all fucking day.
Oh, well,
so they can't just be like, oh, since I got to be pasty, I'll just live a third shift life.
That's why there's a bunch of fucking plot holes in the show where Angel's out during the day because they didn't want to keep everybody up at night all the fucking time. Right. They're like, guys, we just need to write it into the show that Angel's out during the day a lot.
Yeah.
It's fine. It'll be fine. We expected this show to get canceled right out of the gate, but somehow we got 5 seasons.
Right. So yeah, anyway, Fred's math says that the bad thing should probably already be in L.A., or it showed up last March.
Either way.
Enter Angel deciding to talk to Cordy about, like, their relationship.
Well, he was stalking around, listening in on all the conversation going on. And yeah, then he just plops his ass down right across from Cordy. And it doesn't take long for him to creep her out a little bit.
Yeah.
So he prattles on awkwardly for a minute about how different they are. And he's ruminating about how different people relate to each other differently. But luckily for him, Cordy's emotional intelligence is just way too high for him.
Right?
And she figures him out immediately. But not before getting in a good jab about someone putting vodka in his blood.
Yeah, and, you know, she's like, yeah, I love you too. I love everybody. Everyone loves everybody. We all love each other. It's a big orgy.
Woo! But we got a fun bit out of it first where she's like, no, I love you too, Angel. He's like, what? Oh, God. She must mean that in the sexual way. She wants to marry me. She wants to fuck me right on the table, right here, right now, in front of everyone. We can't have that because we're all fucking prudes. And then she calls out, hey, everyone, I love Angel and Angel loves me. And he's like, fuck, what are you doing?
God, like, the whole bit here with Angel is like, dude, nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going there.
Yeah.
No one's sending you there. You're just going there on your own.
Yeah, it's a bit of a Freudian thing here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, are you in love with Cordy? See, now I'm starting to wonder. It's like that scene where Xander's like, now nobody's judging you, Buffy. You know, if you were sleeping with Spike, it's understandable. And she's like, no, I'm not fucking Spike, but I'm starting to think you might be. I forget exactly what he says.
I can't remember either, but I remember the line.
You know, he's moody, he's toit, he's cut. Man, maybe I do want to fuck Spike. Jeez.
We know you do.
I was speaking for Xander. But of course, who doesn't want to fuck Spike? If you don't want to fuck Spike...
Get out of here. You're on the wrong show.
Get off of this podcast.
What were we doing?
Jerking it to James Marsters, I guess.
We've been doing that for years now.
You're welcome, buddy. Anyway. Yeah, she's like, hey, everyone, we're all in love. And they're like, we love you too, Angel.
We love.
Everyone
loves everyone.
Twoove. Cordy's like, yeah, we were all just talking about that, you know, in case the world ends. You're welcome. And they agree that they've been through a lot together and they've both seen the good and the bad in each other. Cordy gets a little mushy and she's like, by the way, the good far outweighs the bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this is the last nice thing we hear out of Cordelia's mouth this whole episode.
I do want to mention here, though, that, like, the genuineness that Cordy gives about, like, she has seen the worst from Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the weight of her saying the good outweighs the bad, that is not a small thing. Not a small thing at all.
But actually, get a nice little barge through the door. I wouldn't call it a Kool-Aid Man moment. But
no, no.
Cordy's like, hey, what are friends for? And Darla barges in and she's like, well, if you ask me, they're for knocking you up and leaving you high and dry. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Eh. And so, yeah.
And cue a moment where I legitimately had to stop the playback and just laugh for a while.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Because goes to Angel. He goes, Darla. Wesley, Darla. Cordy, Darla.
Darla?
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 Darla!
Who's Darla?
So, all right, Rex. Reality is breaking down. An Angel is mimicking us and our shenanigans retroactively.
This has happened a couple of times now.
This is the second time now.
It freaks me out.
They did the fucking dramatic reading.
I know!
Then they did our Darla bits.
They're stealing our bits.
Because apparently we're the funniest two assholes on the planet. And we're so far ahead of the curve that this show's doing our bits 20 years after the fact. That's how that works, right?
Okay, so this rolls into one of my quotes of the day, which is actually an exchange back and forth between Fred and Gunn. Because Fred asks, who's Darla? And Gunn says, oh, Angel's old flame from way back. Fred says, not the one who died. Gunn says, yeah, well, no, not that one. The other one who died and came back to life. She's a vampire. Fred says, do y'all have like a chart or something? And then here's the line. Gunn says, in the files. I'll get it for you later.
Get it for you later. I imagine that chart looks something like a tic-tac-toe board.
Yes.
Because there's two. There's exactly two. We don't need a chart. We don't need a database. There's two with like two similarities that you just pointed out. If you need a chart, I'm not sure how you're a professional mathematician. But I understand needing one anyway.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know what? I'm going to get on board with that.
He has had a lot of lovers who died, even though it's, you know, two. They've just both died a lot.
They just both died and came back.
They keep dying and they keep coming back.
Dying and coming back. I don't know.
Why can't they just stay dead, you know?
Or in Buffy's case, don't stay dead.
Well, yeah.
Please come back. Thank you.
I don't know. I think it would have been good if she got to stay in heaven.
We need two more seasons from you, Buffy. You can do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Well, one and a half.
Anyway, Angel focuses on the fact that it's impossible for two vampires to have a child, and this is where Cordelia becomes insufferably judgy for the almost the remainder of the episode.
Well, she's specifically pissed because Angel lied about sleeping with Darla.
Yeah. And I mean, did he lie or did he just withhold?
No, he specifically lied because she said something about him sleeping with her and he told her, no, I would never do that.
Okay.
No, he very directly lies. It is not lying by omission. He directly lied.
I mean, while that's a dick move, why isn't Angel standing up for himself in the respect that it shouldn't be this cardinal sin for him to have sex? He knows, we all know, it's not the sex that makes him lose his fucking soul.
And I don't think that's what Cordy is pissed about. I think Cordy is pissed because
she's in love with him.
No, I don't even think it's that.
I know, I'm kidding.
I think she is in love with him, but I don't think it's that. I think the problem is Angel sleeping with Darla is like him like making bad, unsafe choices for the group. It's like if you have a polycule and one person of the polycule is going off fucking people that are unsafe to sleep with.
Without a condom.
And they're endangering the circle of people. The whole group here at Angel Investigations, like if Angel starts fucking around with Darla, that endangers all of them. And that, I think, was the entire reason she had brought up him ever sleeping with Darla. And him lying about sleeping with Darla upsets Cordy because, like, that is endangering the group.
I guess. I mean, it is endangering them just because Darla is dangerous. But I think Angel knew that he wasn't going to lose his soul because he wasn't in love with her. Right. He just needed some closure.
Yeah, and like we've said, obviously it's not the sex that is the problem. It's the happiness that is the problem.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, if I think it works out. If he goes and fucks people he hates, he doesn't have a problem with being too happy.
There you go. Just get you some hate fucks. Anyway, I'm not saying she doesn't have a leg to stand on, but I kind of feel like it's a bit not really her business.
Right. Well, it's partly not her business, but also, like, to me, it's obvious that her problem isn't the fact that he slept with Darla. It's that he lied about it. If he had said that he had slept with her, she wouldn't have been so pissy.
I agree. Yeah. And that's certainly one of the points that she actually has every right to be angry about.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Fred starts to theorize that this might be the bad thing that was prophesied. Darla comes at Angel and punches him, and she's all, "What did you do to me?" And Cordy takes Darla's side and starts doting all over her like she's a real person or something.
Right.
Angel tries to remind her that this is Darla, but don't bother to reiterate that.
I like that he actually brings up it being an hysterical pregnancy, which is an old term, but that makes sense considering his age. But there's actually something called pseudocyesis pregnancy, which is not an actual pregnancy. It is when something hormonal happens in a woman and she starts experiencing pregnancy symptoms, but there's no actual pregnancy. Yeah, it's a real medical thing. It's fucking fascinating.
That's weird. And wow, fascinating is not the term I'd have picked.
I mean, biology is fascinating to me. But
sure.
The point is specifically, somebody who has this sort of pregnancy has symptoms of being pregnant. Even gaining weight and looking like they're pregnant is possible.
Jeez.
But they don't, nothing shows up on the ultrasound. There's no kicking, which is why they bring up the baby kicking. And that, to me, is fascinating because they're actually talking about a real medical circumstance here.
That's funny. Neat. But, yeah, they didn't bother to reiterate to Cordelia that, by the way, Darla's a soulless fucking demon that'll murder you the first chance she gets.
Like, the moment she starts being so friendly to Darla, it's like, she's evil!
Yeah, like, this isn't gonna go well.
You're getting way too close to someone who will bite you!
At least the writers didn't forget that. So Cordelia demands water for Darla, which is stupid, and I'm not even going to explain why.
No, I got it. She's a white woman. You ever see the videos of the white women going up and, like, petting the big fucking dangerous animals? Like, ooh, look, the big kitty.
Mm-hmm. No, like, that's what it is. But go on.
There's a video out there, by the way, of a woman walking down the street with a giant fucking, like, mountain lion in her arms. And, like, there's all sorts of articles about fucking white women who just should not be cuddling animals they're getting all cuddly with.
Well, it sounds like it was going okay.
Right? But that's what it is. She's a white woman, and it's a dangerous animal. But because she's pregnant, it's all cute and sweet.
Well, and I've also heard complaints from pregnant women about too many people just not respecting boundaries and up and being like, oh, look, and putting their hand on their stomach. And that sounds obnoxious.
When my brother's kids were born, their mother talked about how much she just loathed going anywhere when she was pregnant because of how often people would just all over her shit. And it's like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. Wow.
My fiance has talked about how it is more likely to have boundaries broken by other women than it is most men.
It's in this particular scenario,
Like, it's worse most often when men go over boundaries like that, but women do it more often, more casually.
Ew.
I can hold a note for a long time. Actually, I can hold a note forever. But eventually, that's just noise. It's the change we're listening for. The note coming after and the one after that. That's what makes it music.
Anyway, Courtney demands water for Darla, which, as I said, is stupid because vampires don't fucking need water.
Right.
And she takes it from Fred anyway when she brings it out. And then Courtney's like, have you been to a doctor? And even Darla looks at her like, are you fucking stupid? Because Cordelia is right. being very, very stupid right now. And everyone's just letting her because they're all a bunch of fucking Puritans who care way too much about where Angel puts his dick.
Right.
And nobody can just be like, this is a dangerous demon.
Yeah.
That A, doesn't need our care, and B, doesn't need a doctor.
Yeah.
She needs a goddamn old priest and a young priest.
And like, you know, like she said, she went to every fucking shaman and wise man and anything
so,
in
yeah, close
the Western
enough.
Hemisphere.
Close enough. She has been to a doctor then, I guess.
Yeah.
So Darla wants them to investigate what the fuck is happening to her. Wesley plays a bitchy little tune where he picks up a book and opens it to the middle and is like, oh, look, here it is.
Oh, no, this is one of my quotes of the day.
Go on.
This is one of my quotes of the day because, oh, it's so good. Angel says to Wesley, well, let's get on this right now. Wesley's like, well, what do you suggest? Angel says, I suggest you use your books and find out what's going on. What, do I have to think of everything? Wesley reaches over, picks up a book, opens the book to just a random page, says, oh, here it is. Angel comes over like, oh, you have the answer. Then he says, it says, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. And he closes the book.
What a gullible asshole.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, that was so...
It's a great moment for Wesley, I think.
That was so campy.
But also, he's
on
like...
Angel's part, I mean.
Yeah, and... Then immediately Wes is like, how about we go see the host?
Yeah,
let's
plan.
Go see a psychic person who has a lot more power and knowledge than I do.
Supposedly. And even though we all know that his name is fucking Lorne now, this might be the first time ever that they've actually called him the host that I can remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. They don't use his name very often.
Yeah.
Or call him anything very often.
Hmm. Well, and I feel like even before we knew his name was Lorne... They still didn't call him the host. Maybe once or twice. Maybe. I don't remember. Anyway, cut to...
Caritas!
So...
Under renovation.
Indeed. Lauren's busy renovating and restoring the place. He's got a demon electrician with a little bit of ass crack showing. And he's got the three sisters that Angel banged who do protection spells. The whole kit and caboodle.
The whole kit and caboodle.
And Lauren sees Darla and shoos everyone else out except the A-team, of course. And he's like,
yes.
What the fuck happened here? Excuse me. Who knocked this bitch up? And they're all...
One of you got some explaining to do.
You got some explaining to do. And they're all like, I know, right? And so he's like, all right, well, she runs up to him, grabs him, and she's like, oh, Danny boy, what the fuck is wrong with me? And he's like, I don't know, could be anything. So they all speculate a bit more as if they hadn't already started to do so. Angel's all like, great, so my child's the scourge of mankind. Lauren's like, oh, no, that can't be. That's mystically unfair. You've worked too hard for good or something.
Oh, also during this conversation partway through, Lauren and Cordy take Darla to Lauren's room where Cordy stays to look after Darla.
Yeah, hey, Cordy, why don't you run off alone with Darla and just hang out with her?
Everyone at this point has seemed to have forgotten that Darla is evil.
Uh-huh. Either that or they're just like, you know what? Not my circus. Not my monkeys. I'm just going to wait for this to play itself out.
Yeah. Just...
So,
you know, as Mark Twain once said, a man who picks up a cat by the tail learns something that he can only learn one way.
Okay. So, but maybe the Shanshu prophecy wasn't about Angel, they decide. Maybe it's about his child being a pivotal figure in the battle between good and evil. Or maybe it's Angel's pivotal role to stop his child. And I got a quote of the day here.
From Fred.
Fun, rousing little speech by Fred. Fred's like, can I say something about destiny? Screw destiny. If this evil thing comes, we'll fight it. And we'll keep fighting it until we whoop it. Because destiny is just another word for inevitable. And nothing's inevitable as long as you stand up, look it in the eye, and say, you're inevitable. Well, you catch my drift. And Lauren takes all the words right out of our mouths here when he says, wow, I like her so much.
Yeah.
Because she's...
And it, the way Lauren delivers the line and everything, it's...
I believed it.
Chef's kiss.
I believed it.
Genuine.
Every iota of it. Because she's great. She's cute. She's adorable. And she's... The things she says are true and endearing.
Also, I just always like it when I hear people use the word evitable.
Evitable?
Because it's an actual word.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It specifically means avoidable.
Huh.
Something that is evitable is something that is... The opposite of inevitable.
Stands to reason.
Yeah, it's great.
So Angel wants to see everything on this new prophecy. So Gunn and Fred go back to the hotel to get the stuff. Gosh, maybe they should have just fucking brought it in the first place.
Right. That would have made sense.
You know, to show Lauren or something. And so this, I'm guessing, is just bad writing to explain having to write less characters and pay less actors for the rest of the episode.
Maybe.
But Angel asks how she is. Specifically, doesn't use a name. And for like the 18th time already this episode, they do this shtick where they're talking about the wrong person because their communication skills suck.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I sure love that bit. It's a good thing because they use it a lot. This is my sarcasm face.
Yes.
So Lauren reports the obvious that Cordelia is pissed off. Maybe. Give her some space.
Yeah.
And this is the extent of the help we get from Lauren this episode.
That's it for the entire episode.
Yeah. The most obvious thing that is going on at all right now, aside from Darla being evil. And
they literally did not need to come to Cardass.
They absolutely had no fucking reason.
Nothing.
At the end of the episode to come here. Lauren, other than to establish for later episodes that Caritas is back on its feet.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the protection spell up and running again yet.
Right.
He just also sent him out on their way and said, we'll finish it tomorrow.
Also, it potentially sets up that the spell in Caritas specifically stops humans from harming each other as well.
As well, yeah.
Okay, to the next scene in the bedroom.
Lauren's bedroom.
Where there's a conversation between Darla and Cordy, really more Cordy just talking, but they're talking about food and everything. And now here is where I needed to look up some information about blood.
Great.
Okay, so fun fact. Here's my tangent for the episode. So fun fact, the average pregnant person needs about 300 to 400 calories more per day when they're pregnant growing a baby.
Okay.
Okay, so say if an individual normally eats about 2,000 calories, they need about 2,300, 2,400.
Yep.
A human being dies from blood loss at 40% blood loss. You lose 40% of your blood, you're done. So.
Damn.
So, if, as we already saw, Darla is hungry, and just this day, less than, I assume, 24 hours, Darla ate three people on the bus who died from blood loss. So
only three?
The rest were cowering in the back of the bus.
Okay.
I double checked.
All right.
So she ate three people and killed them. They were not moving. They were definitely supposed to be dead.
So that's at least 12 pints.
Right. So 40% of a person's blood, the average person with the amount of blood that they have, that would equal out to about 1,700 calories per person.
Hmm.
So you figure from those three people, from those three people, she ate 5,100 calories of blood.
And she's still
hungry.
Just like, I'm starving.
But this also puts into perspective, it's not like strictly like written into the show or anything, but it seems like on average, most vampires kill one victim a night.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, by the math, works out. if you drain one person completely, you're getting at least 17 plus 100 calories.
Hmm.
You can get upwards to 4,300 calories per person. But that's if you're really draining every drop out.
Really squeezing them out.
So you could assume the average vampire has a calorie needs of around 3,000. That's one victim a night. This is fucking fascinating. The math actually works out.
And I'm sure they didn't do that on purpose.
Right. Exactly. Huh. But also, it's really freaky how much fucking blood Darla needs being pregnant.
That's a lot of blood.
That's the scariest aspect of her pregnancy.
That's too much blood. Yeah. But in this scene, other than that, Cordelia starts to slowly realize, now that she's alone with Darla.
Just how stupid it is that she's alone with Darla.
Darla is a stone-cold demon who will kill her at the first chance she gets. So as Cordy tries to escape, much like Fred did from Wesley last episode... Darla stops her at the door and bites the fuck out of her neck, or at least the Foley artists seem to think so.
My favorite part is the way the conversation happens here. It's not so much that Cordy realized that Darla will eat her as it is that she kind of reminded Darla that she could eat her.
Yeah. Darla says a lot of creepy things.
Yeah.
That... everybody just kind of lets it go, and they're like, oh, that's just Darla.
Right?
She's a fucking psychopath. It's fine.
Like, and I get they're obviously all very distracted by the fact that a vampire is pregnant with another vampire's baby.
Sure.
And by all accounts, this is not fucking possible.
And she's really playing it up, looking all pathetic, and her hair is all frazzled, and... that's what gets Cordy. She's like, oh, I just felt so sorry for her. But as Darla is feeding on Cordy, Cordelia has a vision of some kids.
Yeah.
And I think this vision transfers to Darla.
They kind of, for a brief moment, made it seem like maybe that's what was happening, but they don't play that on.
Actually,
I think
you're right. She's just getting a vision that's warning her where Darla's going when she leaves.
I kind of think it would have been fucking cool for the vision to like transfer to Darla.
Yeah.
And it like fuck her up. Like that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. There certainly was nothing else that really happened to feed that theory.
Yeah.
So Angel stops Darla in the nick of time. Proclaiming after she leaves, she's like, I'll kill her for this. And Cordy's like, well, you have to find her first. Because I guess she ran out pretty fast.
Yeah.
And right after explaining, of course, that she can't seem to get full on blood, probably because of the demon baby inside of her.
Right.
Angel starts to go after Darla, but she's long gone as he checks in with the A-team out front. And I got a quote of the day from the gun here.
Yes, I wrote it down too, but go.
He says... we tried to stop her by hitting her fists and feet with our faces, but...
Also, the delivery on that was excellent.
Yeah, it's almost like you really meant it. Gunn, he's the funny one.
Yeah.
He's the brawn and the funny.
Well, for the last two seasons, they really made Wesley out to be the comic relief, but he's kind of stepped away from that.
Yeah,
and he's much more serious now.
Yeah, and they're not even using Angel as the broody one. Now Wesley's the broody one.
Yeah.
They're changing it up.
They really
now
are.
Now Angel's just being kind of just a
no,
normal
the broody
guy.
One is like a baton they pass around every now and then. All right, who's the broody one today? Oh, it's Gunn today. Here you go, Gunn. Here's the baton. You get to be the broody one.
So, but if we've got a broody one and a funny one, I guess Angel's just being the local badass? I don't know.
They also have the forgets that they're in a horror TV show. Like,
well, that's Cordelia.
Yeah, that's Cordelia this episode. Because every now and then, somebody has forgotten that there are bad guys.
Yeah. So Gunn holds up watching Cordy in the bedroom while she rests and, you know.
Right. They went back to the hotel.
She regrows some blood.
Yes.
and he's guarding her with a crossbow in case Darla comes back. Cordelia tells him about the vision she had, and she thinks she knows where Darla's headed. To Angel, I mean. And, yeah, so this is all back at the Hyperion.
Just a note, if you happen to lose a lot of blood, first go to the doctor. But also, you got to drink a lot of water. Mm-hmm. People forget that when you lose blood, you become dehydrated.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because there's water in that there blood.
Yeah. Drink water, eat a cookie.
Yeah. You need sugar.
You eat lots of cookies. So Angel's gearing up at the ye old weapon cabinet, and he's arguing with Wesley about, no, I'm going alone. No, you can't go alone. You shouldn't go alone. I'm going alone. All right, I guess you're going alone. And he leaves, and Fred theorizes to Wes that he just can't bear to have them watch him kill Darla because he's carrying his child, the one thing he can never have even if he lives forever.
Up until the moment that Fred said that, I was actually about to gear up to, like, all this stupid bullshit of, like, I gotta do it alone. And it's like, the moment she explained that, I'm like, okay, actually, that makes sense. Like, I can believe that Angel would specifically run off alone like this out of shame.
Yeah.
If there's anything I definitely believe would motivate Angel, it's shame.
Yeah, if there's anything he's more full of than bullheadedness... it's shame and guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not real. Or I'm not real. Somebody here isn't real, and I suspect it's you. So if you're not real, then that means that my head came off back there, and then I'm dead now. Dead.
Cut to a busy arcade.
I just put down Chuck E. Cheese because whether they meant it or not, it's just a Chuck E. Cheese.
Whatever. Darla spots a lost little boy and takes his hand and tells him that they'll find his mommy together. She's stopped briefly by some random woman commenting on how brave she is to be having another baby.
So brave.
While taking out another one to play. Darla quips, oh, I love children. I could just eat them up. Because she may actually do that.
I
get it.
This is about the most sinister this show gets. Like, okay. This is the first time in either show I've ever really seen them, and like, the children are in danger.
Won't somebody think of the children? No, I will not.
But don't, like, seriously, they don't often have it where children are in danger in these shows.
Yeah, it's usually just a vague concept of, like, the world or
the city. Exactly.
Or the A-team. But yeah, specifically innocent children this time.
Cut back to the hotel where Cordy wakes up from a nightmare, but turns out it wasn't a nightmare. It was actually just kind of reliving the same vision.
Yeah.
And then she explains to the rest of the A-team, sans Angel, that... she thinks she gets what the vision is trying to tell her, and they talk a little bit about what the prophecy was and all this, and Fred pages Angel, turns out his pager's in his coat, which is there.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. He totally did it on purpose. But yeah, then we get kind of a pseudo cliffhanger thing where Cordy thinks she knows what the visions are trying to tell her, and... why Darla is craving younger victims, and then they cut there before she answers.
Yeah, but we don't actually hear from them
right
what it is. So we're back at the arcade where Darla's about to feed on the little boy in a dark corner, which I'm pretty sure you don't really find a lot of dark corners in arcades.
No.
But this one has one because it's L.A.
Yeah.
And the kid sees her face turn into, you know, a vampire, and the kid runs off screaming and the terrible child actor.
Yeah.
Bad.
Not great.
Bad acting.
But eh.
You know, whatever. He was like 5 years old.
Right. Angel stops her from eating the child, and they fight.
Yeah.
Of all the fights that we've seen in this show, this one is just hilarious.
Was it?
It's funny watching a fight happen where one of them is in a pregnant suit.
Yeah. I did kind of think about that a little bit.
But also...
the location.
Not just that one is in a pregnant suit, but they're in a fucking Chuck E. Cheese. And it's supposed to be this dramatic fight.
You're
it's
fighting a pregnant funny. Woman in a Chuck E. Cheese. That's just funny right there.
Yeah. But no.
The last time I fought a pregnant woman at a Chuck E. Cheese, there was a loud dinging noise and a bunch of tickets came out of her. Don't ask from where.
No, Angel is actually about to kill Darla when he hears the child's heartbeat. And he realizes at this point that the entire reason why Darla is going fucking crazy and needing younger and younger blood is because the child is alive and has a soul.
Oops.
Which
I didn't realize he heard the kid's heartbeat. Yeah. That makes a little more sense now because of his super vampire hearing.
Yeah.
All right.
But it also kind of confirms an idea that I've been wondering about. I think his vampire powers are heightened when he's vamped out.
Well, they would be.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that, to me, makes sense as to why he would have heard the heartbeat once he was vamped out, but not before that.
Hmm. A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, he should have heard that before.
Yeah.
Somebody should have thought, let me grab a stethoscope real quick.
Right.
Like, Wesley. Come on, Wesley.
Yeah.
Dropping the ball here.
But, yeah, since the child is alive, Angel doesn't want to kill her because, you know, it'll kill the baby. And he takes her back to the Hyperion, puts her to bed, does not chain her up like a dumbass. I'm sorry. Don't care if she's pregnant. Chain her up. If you don't want to kill her, fine. Chain her up. She's evil.
No, it's okay. He put gun out there.
Yeah, because, you know, he was able to stop her before.
Yeah.
With his fists.
Uh-huh.
With his face. Well, he does have a crossbow now. Maybe that will work better than his face.
He probably slowed her down a little. That's how Angel was able to find her. Oh, and he gave him a good, solid, stern warning. He was like, by the way, she's stronger than any of us right now. Good luck.
It was a really cool-looking crossbow that was, like, strapped to his arm like a gauntlet kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you barely got to see it, but it looked badass.
Hmm. Well, anyway, yeah. Yeah, so we're back downstairs. Angel warns Cordy and Fred not to go anywhere near Darla without him. Gun and a lot of crossbows between them, and he gets zero arguments from them. And they're about to wrap up nicely. Wes is agreeing that it makes sense about the soul because Angel has a soul, yada, yada, yada. Wes warns that it could still be what's spoken of in the prophecy.
Right.
Cordelia is about to say, why don't we all pour ourselves a nice stiff drink? But Fred interrupts with, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, spaghetti-o.
A nice stiff uh-oh. That's correct.
Yes.
And she babbles on for a minute, recapping all the knowledge we've gotten throughout the episode, until they all yell, Fred! Simultaneously, and she gets to the point suddenly that, oh yeah, by my calculations, it's definitely about to show up in 3-2 right now. Cut to some underground fucking temple layer thingy where there's some demon dude chanting at a statue.
Throws some magic dust on it, lights a cigarette, waits.
Yeah, he after he does all this like reverent chanting, he suddenly looks really bored and just turns around and slowly saunters over and lights his cigarette off of this fucking torch.
Checks his modern watch. I love that.
Yeah. At least that wasn't anachronistic.
Right.
I mean, it feels anachronistic, but you know what was actually anachronistic was the beginning of the episode. Holtz's fucking glasses.
Those were so
out of place.
They were.
I was like, no fucking way in a million years, guys, did he have glasses that looked like that 150 years ago.
They did have spectacles in those days.
Sure.
I don't think they had like sunglasses in those days. And his were like tinted purple or something.
I mean, they looked They looked like fucking glasses you could get almost anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The whole room starts to shake. The statue's eyes open up. And the statue finally crumbles and a body falls to the floor. The demon runs to him and he's like, you haven't used your muscles in a long time, but Angel is here. And then Holtz stands up and cuts him off and he's like, just tell me where he is. Oh, boy.
I don't need to recuperate. I have rage on my side.
Yeah. He killed my family. I'll murder him. Gerarg.
Is this for me? I must be ready. I need my strength.
Give me more!
Knights, I shall walk in here.
Hold on. You've got something here.
Do you want to do quote of the day first, or how'd you feel about this episode first?
How'd you feel about this episode, Rex?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was one of the more quotable episodes we've had in a while. On Angel, at least.
I guess it wasn't unquotable.
It had some good character moments, and like seeing Darla wasn't awful. Like, I expected it to be awful, but it wasn't too bad. There's not much plot here, though.
There really wasn't.
I think the fact they even went to Caritas was stupid.
It was.
Like, there was no reason for that.
And also, Cordelia is smarter than that.
Yeah.
She should not have doted.
I understand her attitude towards Angel lying to her.
Sure.
And I can kind of get her being a little concerned for Darla being pregnant, because, like, she was pregnant that one time, like she mentioned, when the demon, like, made her pregnant, like, over one day.
Yeah.
And, like, I could understand that affecting her, but you're right. She's not that dumb. And nobody, even at the end of the episode, nobody is treating Darla like the dangerous creature she is. What is... You guys fight these beings for a living.
Yeah.
You're all smarter than this.
And the prophecy just kind of feels like it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, especially... I don't care if I was 20, 25 years younger, even if I'd been keeping up with the show as it's live airing.
Right.
I'm not going to remember something you said 6 fucking episodes ago, guys.
Yeah.
I'm just not. You need to reestablish this shit and that it's a recurring thing. Yeah. Maybe there was something in a recap that I didn't see, because there was no recap for this episode on Hulu. No,
there was not.
Although there was in the transcript. But I didn't bother reading it. So, but you still shouldn't have to rely on a transcript.
Right.
To be reminded of shit like that if the writing is good. So, meh. Meh. I find the whole plot with Holtz boring.
I'm curious to see where it will go.
I like
that they took the time to put some flashbacks in earlier in the season so we knew who he was before this episode.
Sure.
Like, I could have totally seen them, like, drop this character in out of the blue and, like, who the fuck is this who, like, hunted them for years? Like, and that's the first we're hearing of him.
Yeah.
So it was nice that they, like, he might have even been hinted at in the second season. So, like, that's good. There was some foreshadowing, for fuck's sake. But the whole way they're going about with this prophecy and everything, it's just, I'm not interested.
Yeah. I know that you hate Darla, and I can't 100% figure out why. I like Darla. I think they can squeeze a lot more nothing out of Darla and make it more entertaining for me, just because she's got history with the show.
I could be okay with Darla if it weren't for the fact that, just like this episode, for some reason, somebody in the fucking group decides that today they're going to forget that Darla's the fucking bad guy.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're establishing a new bad guy, Rex, and the good guy who's
right.
becoming the bad guy. He's an antagonist anyway, regardless of his moral stance.
Darla's character is painfully inconsistent. The way the other characters react to Darla is painfully inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, you could say that because of the history that Angel has, he's going to be inconsistent with her. Fine, but there's a better way to fucking write it, and it's not this. And granted, I don't know how I would write it better necessarily, but they're not doing it quite right, and it just makes Darla dull. She's a better character than what they've given her.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired. Let's do... What's your quote of the day, Rex?
I think I'm going to have to go with Gunn's line. We tried to stop her by hitting her fists and feet with our faces. I liked that. Excellent delivery. Gunn's really on the ball with his quips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's your quote of the day?
Well, you fucking took it. I'll give my quote of the day, because you took mine, I'm going to give it to Fred. Her whole big thing about destiny and inevitable. I said it earlier.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
It's a long line.
It's a long quote.
Yeah.
And then Lauren saying, wow, I like her so much. Just because that was a really genuine moment from both of them.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And also, it's just like, man, Lauren really speaks the audience words here.
Yeah.
Because Fred is just fucking adorable.
And, I mean, he certainly didn't say anything else of value this episode. Nope. Not at any fault of his.
No, not of any fault of his. There's just no meat here.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been Ale with Angel. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Join our Facebook group. We love to post memes there and interact and respond to fans. Hey, you can even ask us questions there. You can even message us through our Facebook page. We will even respond to messages.
We're real people.
We're real people who say stupid shit.
And we're not actually famous, so...
No.
We talk back.
Yes.
You know, someday we'll be jaded and we'll stop doing that, but it's not yet.
No, not yet. And like I said, you can always message us there and we'll actually respond. You can also email us, beerwithbuffy@gmail.com. Especially email us if you give us a review so we can send you a sticker. Like, seriously, not enough people have, like, gotten stickers from us. They're free and everything.
Don't you like them? They're so sticky.
Yeah. You can put them on your laptop or your car even.
Seriously.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can do that at 269-743-0783. You can also text that number and, hey, stick around for the next episode where we might actually catch up on voicemails.
Sticker around?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you would like to support us, the absolute number one best way you can do that is by giving us a review on iTunes. We're up to
69.
We're up to 69 reviews, and when we get to 75, we are giving away a free hoodie to one of the people who has reviewed us. If you'd like to more directly support us, you can do that in a couple of ways. You can buy our merch at beerwithbuffy.com/shop. We have hoodies, stickers, we have tote bag and mugs. My fiance uses her Beer with Buffy mug all the time. It's a good mug. Quality mug.
Yeah. Oh, I made a new mug. Like, we used to only have these weird, like, two-tone ones, but now we have a straight, glossy black one with the Beer with Buffy logo on it.
Yeah.
I could easily whip up another one that's Beer with Buffy and Ale with Angel, or Beer with Buffy and the Master. If honestly, if there's a character that you want on a mug with our logo, I'll make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll try not to steal any copyrighted images.
Right. The other most direct way that you can support us is by being a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/beerwithbuffy. There's a little bit of inside information there of what's coming up. If you want to know what's coming up and why this wasn't a Beer with Buffy episode, that's how you find out. As always, thank you so much to JJ Treadway for transition music. This is Ben Ale with Angel. I'm Rex.
I'm Josh.
Have a good night.
You too, Rex.
Giannis be Josh.
Reeves be with you.
Whoa. Whoa. You're a slayer. Lives depend upon you. I make allowances for your years, but I expect a certain amount of responsibility, and instead of which you enslave yourself to this cult. You don't like the color? You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people. Why can't you people just leave me alone? You are the Slayer. Go ahead. Prepare me. I'm a watcher. What have we done? Why are we watching this?